Hello everyone and welcome to the Smashy Business Show. Today is Friday, June 20th, 2025. Once again, half a year has passed. I am Abdul Majid Awad.
And I am Anika Ellis-Baby and we have got a packed show for you today. But before that, happy Father's Day.
Oh yeah, I got a card from my son and it was really cute and it made me all teary-eyed. But yeah, happy Father's Day. To everyone who's listening, we have a very male-dominated audience. So yeah, a lot of people will be listening and saying, yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
When is the Mother's Day? I've realized it's different for us. No, Women's Day is different, I think. Mother's Day is usually the same across the globe, right?
I have no idea.
Yeah, because I remember we did the Women's Day thing and then the International Women's Day came. And I was like, maybe this is the Emirati Women's Day.
There is an Emirati Women's Day. There is a separate Emirati Women's Day.
I was like, why? But now I've realized there are two different days. But yeah, thank you so much, Anika.
No problem.
Talking about thank you so much, Saudi Arabia's Humane launches a media and gaming division. Thank you so much, Humane, for doing this. We'll tell you the details of how you can use all of this to create short-form videos and which AI partner they've got for this. Moreover, Imar Properties, Mohammed Albar, very famous for Imar Properties, and also to some extent Eagle developers, which are the new version, are based in Abu Dhabi and are doing a lot of things internationally for Albar. There is another company that Mr. Albar chairs, that's Americana Restaurants Group PLC, very long name, and they're looking to add five guys. Very famous if you've gone to the Dubai Fountain.
Of course. They're everywhere.
Yeah, that's one of the big shops that you see. If you're like a visitor and you haven't seen Five Guys anywhere, that's one of them. And they're trying to add Cinnabon also to its portfolio. And they already have KFC, Pizza Hut, they have Krispy Kreme, Wimpy, all of these brands in the Middle East. They hold the franchises.
We'll also be talking about the very important Strait of Hormuz. So about how oil may touch up to $90 per barrel if this strait is shut. So it's a very important one. And also good news in Syria as it conducts its first direct international bank transfer via the SWIFT system.
Very good news coming out, and it was very popular on social media. Whenever there is something good that happens in one of the troubled countries, people love it, and I think it's just a positive thing that happens.
Yeah.
We're like, good, finally we see some good news. Okay, first of all, Humane. Saudi Arabia is ramping up its artificial intelligence ambitions. We all know that they formed the company just one day before Mr. Trump's visit to the Middle East. He started with Saudi, went to Qatar, and then ended his tour in the UAE, in Abu Dhabi. And the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia's new AI company, Humane, has launched a new division dedicated to advertising, gaming, and film. Unveiled at the Cannes Lion Festival of Creativity, the new unit, Humane Create, is part of the Public Investment Fund's broader push to position Saudi Arabia as a global tech powerhouse.
Now, Humane Create will partner with California-based startup Luma AI, known for developing generative AI models for media production. The new division aims to deliver photorealistic images and videos for game developers, marketers, and the wide creative industries. This is storytelling without limits, said Steve Plimsoll, the Humane's chief strategy officer, during the unveiling.
And Luma CEO Amit Jain said the collaboration will help creators produce Hollywood-quality video and interactive experiences at incredible speeds. The partnership is part of Humane's wider plans, which include massive investments into data centers, cloud computing, and generative AI infrastructure. The company also plans to launch a $10 billion venture capital fund.
Now, gaming is a key focus. Saudi Arabia has been buying up stakes in global gaming companies, including Scopely, which recently agreed to acquire Niantic's gaming division for $3.5 billion. The country also hosted the inaugural Esports World Cup in 2024, with ambitions to turn Riyadh into a global gaming hub.
And last month, Humane announced major chip supply deals with NVIDIA and AMD after export restrictions were lifted by US President Donald Trump. These deals will power upcoming AI data centers in the kingdom, laying the groundwork for Saudi Arabia's next generation digital economy. Do you have any idea about Humane, Anika? Or the first question, do you like the word? It's such a nice wordplay, right?
Humane.
On human.
Yeah. Yes.
Human and AI. But yeah, the idea, I think, is to just do what we are already using a lot of softwares for.
Yeah.
What do you usually use for small videos? You created
yes,
a
we
meme,
recently
right?
started with Google Vids.
Oh,
or
nice.
Basically VO3.
Yeah.
So those are the two video making softwares that we are playing around with. If I'm not wrong, in India, Kerala, there was a movie, an entire animated movie
nice.
That was produced called Flow. It was about this little black cat. That was an entirely AI produced movie. And if I'm not wrong, it won an award.
Nice.
I forgot what, which
maybe
award.
They made a category for
it was
AI video.
No,
AI
it was
movie.
Shortlisted for animated film.
Nice, nice.
Movie.
But I think with all of this, it's going to be very crazy. Like, just imagine yourself 10 years afterwards, like 2035,
mm-hmm.
and these big budget action movies or like animated movies even, for example, they have so many big budgets because there's a whole army of animators, graphic designers, and all these guys who are part of the project. All of them may become obsolete with the amount of speed that AI is going at. And the way they're trying to create, like, I think there are some softwares which help you make 5-minute videos also.
Yes,
paid
5
versions.
Minutes to 8, yes.
Yeah.
So, for example, Flow, by the way, is not from India, my bad. It won the Oscar for animated feature at Sunday's 97th Academy Awards. And this is, it was made by Latvian filmmaker Gints Zibalodis. It was his first Academy Award, and it was made with Blender, which is a free open source graphics software tool using computer generated animation. So, not exactly AI.
But still, there is
but
part
it's
of AI.
Getting into the domain, showing that there is taste for it. But this is interesting news that comes on the back of the recent. Report that's been doing rounds. Have you been able to catch it about ChatGPT?
Yeah, ChatGPT. We have Sora on OpenAI. That's one of the. I think that was one of the first softwares for graphics, and now they're going into video. I think they've already gone into video. Sora was video, but there's like, if you talk about the industry giants in video and graphics, industry wise. You see the usual suspects. X can make good graphics, the Grok bot. Then OpenAI has ChatGPT. Google has come up with something. Most probably Microsoft, since they're part of OpenAI, they've invested in OpenAI. They will maybe soon launch something also.
Yeah.
But all of the, apart from these guys, there's so many softwares. There's one, I've completely forgot the name. Wait, I have it on Notepad. It helps you create such nice graphics. It's like three animations per day are free. But you can literally sit here and all those booming head graphics. So you don't need to go to all those softwares which you had to go to, After Effects, or you had to go to some animation. Flash was Adobe's version of animation. You don't have to go to any of this. Just put a prompt. Write something and give it a picture or a video, and it'll do the thing that you want to do. And Canva, Canva is like the best thing that we use. Canva already has graphics. Most probably, they'll come up with videos soon as well.
I totally support AI.
Yeah.
But at some points, I'm like, is this removing the love out of labor?
Yeah, it is. To be honest, it is, because you can just write one sentence and get a video.
Yeah.
The idea of the creative people of like designing literally
exactly.
everything.
Exactly.
Remember
like
the Studio
Ghibli.
Ghibli.
Yeah. He draws every frame.
Yeah.
So
it's very nice to like have that thing where you make the minor details of eyes
exactly.
and nose. You're taking all that away from creatives. Now you can just write that I want these hazel eyes, this shape and that, and literally it will give you the same exact thing. So yeah, creative for creatives, it's a big thing. Another story related to AI, since we're talking about it, soon you may see it in your toys as well, because Mattel, the company which makes Barbies and the cars and the big toys, they're partnering with OpenAI. So at a recent event, I was reading about their CEO and some other guy. They were like, soon we're going to finish this partnership. By 2026 end, we'll have AI incorporated in our toys. So imagine your Barbie is talking to you in ChatGPT voice. And you're like, Barbie, this is this. And you're like, Barbie's like, yeah, I'll explain you this.
I feel like a lot of students or a lot of kids are about to come up with a lot of different issues.
Because then you won't have... the best thing about AI that everyone talk... sorry, the worst thing about AI that everyone talks about is a lot of people who are using it for suggestions or life problems or this and that, emotional connection, they're finding it through these chat softwares.
Yeah.
So, because they are shy.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, exactly. There was a whole movie about it, right? You? No, not you.
You is a... You
Her.
Her. Yeah.
Yes.
So, yeah, we don't know what the technology is going to end up as. The best version of this technology is AGI, which Sam Altman is trying to achieve. Elon Musk is trying to achieve average general intelligence, like at the level of me and Anika. They want AI to be as smart as at least us. Basic human intelligence.
Okay, put yourself down. Don't put me down.
Average. The word is very weird. Like, they call it average general intelligence, apart from artificial.
Right.
But average means that if you take the average of the whole globe, their intelligence levels, at that level, the AI will be at least at that level. And
that basically
includes emotions. Mm. That's the main thing that these things have to understand, which they can't, because we have touch, we have hearing, we have crying, we have laughters. These things don't. So
basically, they're trying to create humans who already exist in surplus.
Yeah, but in robotic forms, in metal forms, in
so
dying
they're trying
for 2,000 years
humans
form.
Itself.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm going very negative on the machine today.
To be honest, this is a whole argument when you go on platforms like Reddit or even on X. Whenever something new comes up in AI, something new, breakthrough comes, everyone is talking about what the future holds. And I was looking at the DOC podcast, Diary of a CEO, Stephen Bartlett. He was talking to the father of AI, who is this guy. And that guy had a very weird doomsday call. He was like, don't play with it. And he's the father of AI. I forgot his
name. See, all these, I don't trust these fathers anymore, because they go around, they create things, and later they come up and
they're like,
oh, don't do it. That's what Oppenheimer
did. Don't create it then.
That's what, this guy is doing. So, like, stop it then.
But, technology, I think, when internet came, there were like 1 million naysayers and 1 million for it. Internet somehow is good nowadays. A lot of use that we do, a lot of work that our jobs are based on internet. Internet shuts down, our work stops, right? Canva stops one day, we stop working. Facebook doesn't work, Meta doesn't work, our work stops. But there's still bad sides of internet, the dark internet, all the bad things that are happening. With AI, I think it's going to be the same. It's just the novelty of it right now, which is giving it so much attention. As soon as it becomes a normal part of our life, goes into toys,
integrates,
goes
itself,
into my kitchen tap, hot water is coming, be careful. And I'm like, bro, tap, I'll check it, I have hands. But it can literally go into everything. At that point, we'll realize that these are the good things. This is what we'll use it for. Yeah. This is what we have to avoid.
I'm just going to casually mention that MIT's latest report says ChatGPT's impact on your brain, it makes you, for the lack of a better word, more stupid.
I know, because you stop doing basic calculations and you stop rewriting basic headlines. I've realized that by doing it also. But yeah, ups and downs, both of AI. Just use it whenever you need it and you need...
We can't tell anyone how to use AI.
I think the best idea is use it for
at
brainstorming. At your own risk and brainstorming. It's good to like throw ideas at a wall, and that wall can be your AI. Moving on to the food industry. In a potential shakeup of the Gulf's fast food industry, American Restaurants is exploring a deal to acquire Travia Inc., the Middle East operator of global brands like Five Guys, Cinnabon, Seattle's Best Coffee. That's according to people familiar with the matter. They told Bloomberg all of this. And the talks are still in early stages. There's no guarantee the deal will go through.
If finalized, the deal would significantly expand Americana's portfolio, which already includes brands like KFC, Pizza Hut, and Krispy Kreme across the region. Travia, owned by Fajr Capital since 2016, operates 78 outlets and employs over 2,000 people. Alongside Five Guys and Cinnabon, it also manages Zaatar Vazeet and Carvel.
And Americana is jointly listed in Abu Dhabi and Riyadh with shareholders including Saudi Arabia's Public Investment Fund and Emirati businessman Mohammed Awad Appar. When you hear these two names together, Noon will also pop up in your mind, because Noon is also a 50-50 joint venture kind of a thing with Mr. Al-Abbar and Saudi Arabia's PIF included in it. But the company, Americana Restaurants, has faced headwinds. Its shares have plunged nearly 60% since late 2023, following internal restructuring, job cuts, and also a consumer boycott tied to the Israel's genocide in Gaza.
The potential Kravia acquisition comes amid broader regional uncertainty as tensions between Israel and Iran drag on equity markets and rattle investor confidence. Still, food franchising remains a high-growth sector in the Gulf, where demand for international brands continues to climb.
And analysts say the interest in Kravia reflects a wider trend. Global chains are increasingly relying on local partners to scale in the Middle East. So the best idea for global brands is just sell franchises in the Middle East. And just last year, Saudi Arabia's Sinomi Retail opened 14 Subway stores in a single day, underlining how strategic regional operators have become in global F&B expansion. And it's very interesting, so many stores in just one day because they bought a franchise and they were like, we're ready, go buy Subways, right? It's so interesting to see the franchising models, and I'm a disbeliever in franchises.
Right.
I have a very weird opinion on it that if you own a brand, just go to the countries and run it yourself. Franchisees have... so many problems are there. The food quality doesn't remain the same.
Right. Yeah, like that happened, I think, if I'm not wrong, with Al Baik.
Yeah.
Where people who in the UAE who consume Al Baik are like, this is not the same quality. This is not what I had in Saudi.
Yeah. Because the original production is done there and then it's frozen and sent here. And by the time it reaches here with all the traveling and everything, it loses its original taste. And I literally ate it in Saudi and I was like, these nuggets are different. Yeah. There's something else in them. And then I ate them here. They're not bad. They're a very good snack for me, the fish nuggets.
I have an internal source that also says, I'm not going to reveal the source, but I have an internal source that also says that salt has the same worries.
Oh.
It has same worries as franchising, where they're also upset about it, even though they're about to open their Egypt franchise soon. They're having some worries about it because they think some recipes of theirs are getting stolen.
Yeah, that happens. I think the best example of recipe, which still we don't know, KFC. They say, oh, it's our secret thing that we put on chickens. But I think like 100 people have copied
the
exact
same formula,
right?
There are so many leaks on YouTube and everything about the secret KFC recipe.
Yeah.
But as someone who's actually been boycotting since 2023... I personally have not touched fast food since 2023.
Nice.
It's allowed me to discover so many amazing local UAE homegrown brands, which has been very exciting for me and my tummy.
Yeah.
But also, I think overall, it's made me healthier. No offense to these brands.
It's not... you're right in the sense that then all of them are unhealthy, by the way, fast food. But in moderation, everything is fine. The problem is, again, the supply chain problem. If it's a Norwegian brand, for example, it's too far away, has to travel a lot of miles to come here, then gets stored for a lot of time till that nugget stone comes to get fried and being eaten. It spends a lot of time in refrigerators and storages and all that. So by the time, obviously, any food will lose its quality and taste. Quality-wise, I can sacrifice. Taste, I cannot sacrifice on. That is one of the problems.
And ultimately, you have the most...
brands, local brands, like... when it comes to like whatever you eat, like do you have like
local brands? So for example, for pizza, I used to go to Papa John's.
Yeah, now I love Papa John's pizza. Yeah, but
now I go to Moonslice.
Nice. It's a UAE brand.
It's an Emirati owned brand.
Moonslice. I think I've heard their name from my wife.
Moonslice is they have a store in Al Wasl.
Oh, so they sell slices, right?
No, they sell entire pizza pies. It's amazing. They have a brick oven. The menu is created by Chef Reef Othman.
Nice.
Really, really amazing food. I personally love it.
Yeah. Anything else? Healthy foods?
Healthy foods.
There are so many of them here. Right?
Yeah, there are so many brands, especially in the UAE. You go to Kareem and there's so much. There's like Right Bite, Under 500, Kitopi, Etopi. Oh my God. These are all
Callow
amazing.
Callow is one example.
Sorry?
Callow is there. Salata is there.
Salata
is there. We do cover the founder sometimes when he writes interesting stuff on LinkedIn.
Yeah, and even for desserts. Just the other day, we were covering Bake My Day.
Yeah.
which is amazing. I think no cookie is going to this one. And if you want a good cinnamon roll, Birch Bakery does amazing.
Yeah. Because usually people go to Cinnabon.
Yes.
But that's an international brand.
Yeah. But at least Cinnabon, you can see them making it live. Just FYI, like the smell wafts through the air, so you are aware of it. But yeah.
With pizzas also, I think sometimes you can see the kitchen in all these places. But yeah, boycott-wise, I have a different philosophy on boycotts, and I've discussed that with him when she was there, Worth, and I have had a lot of discussions. I still think they work, but they don't work at a very large scale. But yeah, on a personal level, I also support boycotts. But it's a personal thing.
Yes.
I would support it because I don't want to support
Why would you give your money there? Yeah. Yes.
But on a grand global scale, I don't think they do that much bad.
Ultimately,
it's a regional thing.
The choice is yours as a consumer. Yeah. The power is with you. Yeah. So it's up to you to make your choices.
Yeah. But don't force other people. That's my point.
Yeah.
Let everyone should have a choice to choose whatever they want. Next up, oil prices. We're just talking about food, but oil prices could spike sharply if the Strait of Hormuz is shut, according to a new report by Citigroup. The bank says, it just came out, so we included it in the show. The bank says Brent crude could jump up to $90 a barrel in the event of a closure of key shipping lane, up from current levels of around $77.
The Strait of Hormuz is one of the most critical choke points for global energy supplies. Roughly 20% of the world's daily oil output passes through it, including exports from major OPEC producers like Saudi Arabia and Iraq. Any disruption could cause serious market volatility.
And Citigroup analysts Anthony Yuan and Eric Lee noted in the report that while a closure would trigger a sharp short-term spike, it's unlikely to last long. All efforts would focus on reopening the strait quickly. That's what they said, making a multi-month shutdown unlikely in their view.
The report also downplays the impact of potential disruptions to Iranian crude exports. Citigroup pointed out that Iran's oil shipments are already declining and Chinese refineries are buying less. That could limit the broader market impact of sanctions or military escalations involving Iran.
And the geopolitical risk premium is once again back in focus as tensions simmer in the Gulf region after Israel's unprovoked and illegal attack on Iran. With Brent crude oil, the main which we always look at, trading at nearly $77 today. It's going up and down, but 77 is like the median right now. Analysts warn that even the threat of disruption could send prices soaring, highlighting how fragile the global oil supply chain remains even now, even with AI, we were just talking about it, even with so much operational efficiencies in place. Still, the oil market is always affected when there is something going on in Middle East, and there's always something going on in Middle East. We've seen Israel disrupting Lebanon attacking them unprovoked. There is no reason for them. They just go and attack. And we saw this recent Iran escalation that started last Friday. It's been a week nearly now, more than a week actually. It's 9th or 10th day today. So all the oil in the world is concentrated so much here, and then there's escalation and oil prices are jumping up and down. I don't know what will happen. Apparently, yesterday, White House correspondent, she said that the U.S. will take a decision if they are going to help Israel eventually within 2 weeks. So there's now, again, uncertainty for 2 weeks.
That's what Trump loves to do, right? Extend the uncertainty. It started off with the tariffs, moving on to now this.
He paused them, and then 90 days will end, and he'll pause. He'll be like, okay, more 90. Like he did with TikTok. We have a playbook which is now becoming clearer with Trump. He would threaten you, and then he'll bring you to the table. Then he'll give you his demands, not requests, demands.
The demands.
And as soon as you agree to them, he will back off and
But it's very funny because Trump and Iran, like U.S. and Iran, were actually almost at a nuclear agreement, and then suddenly there was a bombing. So it's all become up in the air again.
Yeah. And Trump was yesterday a very funny video. Reporters were like, "Are you involved? Are you not involved? Or will you be involved? Or will you not be involved?" He's like, "I cannot. Even I don't know what I will do. It's so almost, how can you know?
It's almost he enjoys creating this air of confusion because he knows that makes markets... At the end of the day, this is a businessman.
Yeah.
He's thinking from a business perspective.
He wants to have an upper hand. He wants to be in the dominant position and then put his ask forward. He's done that with TikTok. He's extended 2 days ago or like yesterday I saw TikTok's 90-day... where it was going to be banned, he did 90 days and then he extended it. So for 90 days, again, the TikTok US version, the US part is up for sale. We'll see who will buy it in US because it's a whole fiasco. That's another story. Let's come back to some good story and finish the week actually with a very nice story. Syria has taken a major step towards financial reintegration. This week, the country conducted its first direct international bank transfer via the SWIFT system since the outbreak of its civil war 14 years ago. The move signals a potential easing of Syria's long-standing financial isolation.
Speaking to Reuters in Damascus, a central bank governor, Abdelkader Hosseini, confirmed that a commercial transaction was completed on Sunday from a Syrian bank to an Italian bank. He described the development as a breakthrough moment in Syria's efforts to rebuild banking ties with the global financial economy.
And Syria was largely cut off from SWIFT and international finance during the civil war due to sanctions and regulatory barriers. While the latest transfer is still small in scale, it marks a significant shift. At least it's happening. That's the good news, especially if it opens the door to more international commercial activity.
The door is now open to more such transactions, Hosseini said. It remains to be seen how quickly other banks and trading partners respond. But for a country long isolated from the global system, this is a notable milestone.
As soon as Mr. Trump in Saudi Arabia on his first day of the visit, he said that he's removing all the sanctions from Syria. The SWIFT codes were reignited, re-brought back. But now this is the first transaction that's officially happened, and it's good. We sometimes I think in the Middle East, like in UAE and Saudi, we take these small things so for granted. Like if I want to give you 50 dirhams, I'll be like. And within like minutes, you'll get the money, right?
Yeah.
In Syria, you can't do that. It's so important. Domestically, you can transfer money, but they work on cash a lot because of the complete collapse of the financial system.
But as someone who has so many close friends from Syria, I think it's very nice to see that they finally, after so many years of literally living through such a war-torn situation, when the country didn't even have money to rebuild what was torn down during the Obama era, you know?
Yeah.
So it's very exciting to see. And of course, there are, like, as we discussed yesterday, you know, businessmen like Al Habtour who are so bullish on the Syrian economy. So it's very exciting to see what comes up. And I hope Israel doesn't ruin that.
Yeah, they have a habit of doing it. But for now, I think the good thing is that they won't go there because US is involved now. And we heard a lot of reports by Reuters before even the sanction was removed that Ahmed al-Shara has opened the market for U.S. to come in, build Trump Towers, build anything they want. But then the very first official deal that we saw, like a $1 billion deal, was $7 billion. It's a Qatar and Saudi joint venture. They'll start some gas company or some oil company in Syria. So there's like a flow of $7 billion. There's so much other countries, European countries have contributed a lot. It's the flat sum is 350 million. I think out of that, 80 million was by Germany. And Europe, again, being very like careful, they will give all that money to UN organizations and then they'll rebuild the schools. So Germany's main 80 million will be for rebuilding schools and rebuilding the basic education framework. And if some money is left... They were talking about basic clinics in every area. So that's their focus, and other money also obviously will be used to rebuild it. Saudi and Qatar paid off their debt to IMF and World Bank. That was the good news. So there's a lot of good news coming out of Syria. The only hope is that it continues and nothing bad happens, because we want to see one more Middle Eastern country become a part of the mainstream capital accumulation and richness that we're seeing in the Middle East. So,
And on that positive note, that is a wrap for today. Thank you for tuning in to the Smashy Business Show. Make sure you follow us across all social media channels at Smashy Business. And stay ahead with our daily newsletter. You'll find the subscription link in the description.
This has been a Smashy Business Show, a Smashy Business production, part of the Augustus Media Podcast Network. A big shout out to our 1.5 million monthly listeners across all platforms. You make this possible. If you're one of them, we appreciate you. We have started a weekend version of the Smashy Business Show as well.
Amazing.
We put up an episode. We'll be very honest with you. It's created through AI.
Wow.
We use 11 labs to replicate our voices, but we give you weekend news also. So Saturday also, you can listen to the Smashy Business Show on all podcast platforms.
Yeah. So, and introduce it to your friends and family.
Why not? This is the go-to place for all the news that's important for the day. You can start your day with such great news. Thank you very much. Take care. Have a great, great, great weekend. Enjoy your weekends. Go to the malls. Do shopping. Eat good food or cook good food at home. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.